Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm you have called me.
Huh? Hello?
We yes, live?
Yes. All right.
I'm here.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good evening, I should say. Welcome to our Blog Talk Radio. It is Tuesday night, May the 9th, 2017, and we welcome all of our guests from wherever you're tuning in, whether here, United States, Canada, or somewhere else abroad, East Coast, West Coast, wherever you reside. We're glad to have you on this call because we have some very exciting news from Dr. Alali about some trainings that are going on and some new things that she's developed and has in the works for us. Dr. Alali, are you there with us?
I am here, Ida, and I thank you so much for being on the show tonight. I want to give a shout-out to all the people I love, my Canadian family, all those handsome men up there, and to the beautiful queen, Miss Ida Morris, and to the king of South Carolina, Mr. Jonathan Hill. I just feel so blessed to have men and women of vision and men and women of courage to help me carry this vision through the world. I mean, we are getting press. We are getting attention. People are believing in us. People are affirming us. People are just making a way for us. And I want to just share a little personal testimony. On Friday, I had to go down to a courthouse, and I had to press my way in there. It was raining. I had slipped in the rain and sprained my knee, and I had to park 44 blocks away. And I called Uber to pick me up. Quickly, I did my Uber app to work, and here I had gone an hour and a half before to make sure I was in the courtroom, because I was meeting someone in the courtroom. I was actually going there to support them, and I had given my word I was going to be there. And so I looked up. I fooled around with Uber for a half hour. Now I had 40 minutes to get in the courthouse in the torrential rain and be there to support my friend. So when I realized that Uber wasn't coming, I said, well, I'm going to have to park as close as I can and hobble down there with my knee. Well, by the time I had walked so far in the rain, by the time I got in the courthouse, I was in tears and I was so frustrated. I was so overwhelmed. I just knew they had a wheelchair. They had no wheelchair. They said, okay, lady, you have to go to the courthouse courtroom way on the fourth floor, way down, like a half a block, going north. Now, I had walked like a block going south. I went into the building. Now they're telling me I got to walk the distance of this building going back north on the fourth floor. And I was like, I'm begging you for a wheelchair. You don't have a wheelchair. They said, you have no wheelchair. I walked up to the fourth floor, tears just flowing down. Yeah, I'm in pain, trying to make it frustrated because now it's 10 minutes to find this courtroom. Get all the way down on the fourth floor. They said, it's not on this floor. You got to go back down to security and ask them to find out where this person is. So I cried all the way back down to the first floor to security, and they said, well, lady, you got to go on the third floor. I said, well, don't you have a wheelchair? They said, we have no wheelchair. So I hobbled up to the third floor. I had to walk all the way down a city block on the third floor, and when I got there, I was just so frustrated. The tears were just flowing everywhere. The lady went, she was so mercifully kind. She went and got a box of tissues. She came back over. She said, now, she said, here's some tissues. When you want to talk and you get your composure, we'll talk. And I said, there, you know, I'm having a spasm. My knee's hurting, you know, because I sprained my knee. And she said, why did they give you a wheelchair? And I said, they said they didn't have no wheelchair. She said, of course they have a wheelchair. It's in the back room. So she said, but I'm sorry to tell you that where you need to be is in the next building over. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. She said, no, you got to go downstairs. She said, but I'm going to call that man and tell him where the wheelchair is. So I said, now, so I just happened to have my bag with me. And I said, now, why? I stopped and I said, okay. Now, I've been hanging out with these millionaires on the early morning pep talk. I sent everybody that number. If I didn't give it to you, let me give you the number again. It's, let me see if I can pull it up.
641. I'll have to,
have to find it. I'll give it by the end of because I don't want to get disconnected trying to go look for fish for this number. But anyway, that morning, when you get on the talk show on the pep show, they get in there and they start saying, I am so happy and I'm so grateful that I increase every day, favor in every way. I add value to my life, to the lives of others. All my friends add value to my life. All my family members add value to my life. I'm healthier in every way. I'm wealthy in every way. You know, why does money come so easily to me? And I stood out there outside that elevator and said, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. I'm so happy I got health and I got wealth. And I'm so happy everybody in this building wants to help me. And I'm so happy this spasm's coming on my back. And this knee's going to get better. And then I said, yeah, why don't you take the flat battery out of your bag and put it in your shoe? So I got a flat battery. I put it in my shoe. And all of a sudden, you know, it just started loosening up. My body is doing what it does. Okay, so I'm moving a little better. I get back down to the elevator. Now the cord's already started. You know, I'm late. And everybody's like, we have a wheelchair for you. Don't go anywhere. We have a wheelchair, but we don't have anybody to push you. I said, that's okay. I'll scoot over two blocks away down to the other building in this wheelchair. So I'm scooting, and all of a sudden, two people start opening up the double doors like I was Queen Rhoda. I'm like, are you serious? I rolled through that door, went to the next door. Two people opened up the next door like I was Queen Rhoda. By the time I got down to where I was going to the courtroom, they said, well, no, the court session was canceled. I said, cancel. That's how I went to all of this. So I had worked myself up into such an emotional tizzy. I said, let me just sit by the door, get my composure, because now I got to walk a block back down the street to my car in this rain, and I'm not going to be able to take this wheelchair. They told me I couldn't take the wheelchair. So I'm sitting there, and I'm reflecting on how I would not allow myself to be defeated. How I realized that I'm practicing the presence of God, that yes, I was overwhelmed because I was trying to meet my promise for a dear friend. I promised to be there for them, and now it looked like I wasn't going to be there for them. But then I stopped and I said, I'm not going to be frustrated because I'm going to take me some joy. I'm going to proclaim I'm so happy and I'm so grateful to have this opportunity to press forward. And I stopped and began to reflect on how here I have this technology, and I'm talking about this technology every day and all over the place. And because I live in it, I bathe in it. You know, I don't always wear it. And so how I need it, because my body was exacerbated, that's the first thing I should have thought about. And I didn't. But in the midst of that, I was so grateful that I had the technology in my bag. I had the right bag that had my technology in it, number one. And number two, I was able to call forth help, and it came. And then the unthinkable happened. While I was sitting there at the door, I heard this burly voice from behind me say, Madam, can I help you? Now, mind you, there are sheriffs all around. And mind you, when I came up, I have when I got hit by the truck, the doctor gave me like one of those handicap decals so you can park in the handicap place. I had left that handicap decal in the rental car. And so I didn't even have it in my son's truck that I was driving. And so I told the sheriff, I said, listen, I'm parked out here in this handicap spot, but I left my decal in the rental car. And my little sticker. And I said, sir, I put money in the meter, but please, can you ask them not to give me a ticket? He said, oh, miss, they're going to give you a ticket, but don't worry, you can bring it to court and you'll win. So this big boy said to me, he's saying, okay. I said, sir, I'm going to get up out of this chair so you can have it. I'm just waiting here to get my strength because I got to walk all the way down there in the rain. And I was in so much pain, I left my umbrella in the truck. And I was rushing, so And he's like, you don't have to get up out of the chair. And I said, really? He said, I'm going to roll you out to this truck in this wheelchair. I said, but they said I couldn't take it outside. He said, don't worry. He said, I am security. And what I say goes around here. Here it was the chief of staff in a bulletproof vest. He said, I'll be happy to take you to my car. He rolled me all the way to the truck. He helped me get up. And I said, you know, I said, with this sore knee, I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to negotiate to stand on this knee. But the nano had worked so good on this knee that I was able to weight bear on the knee without pain by the time I got to the truck. And so he said, I'm going to wait right here in the rain until you were safely around on the other side. And I got in the truck and he waved goodbye and then he rode the chair back in there. And that was a life-changing experience for me. And that's what I'm starting my show off with tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're breathing right now and your heart is beating, it's because you are so precious to the Most High God. He is the very air you're breathing. From this day forward, we're not going to be operating in a defeatist attitude. We're not going to take less than. We're not going to take inferior than. We're going to get up every morning and proclaim, I am so happy and so grateful that I got another 24 hours to add value to somebody's life. I have another 24 hours to allow someone to add value to my life. And in this effort to make the world a better place to live in this effort to educate people about environmental toxins that we have to reduce our exposure to, I'm not going to be frustrated anymore. I'm going to operate in the celebratory stage of making the environment a healthy place. I learned, and then ironically, you know, if you've ever studied, I love studying ancient literature. That's why I love the Bible so much. I love the stories of the Bible. And I'm just totally amazed at Prophet Isaiah, how the man was a sailor. He was cussing up and down. He said he hung out with King Uzziah, who was such a fabulous administrator. And King Uzziah was so awesome that Isaiah said he couldn't really get with God. He, you know, he didn't have really a relationship with God because all he wanted to do was serve the king. So it wasn't until King Uzziah died that he even saw God, he even saw the presence of God. But he was talking about how, you know, he was a man of great unclean lips and God had to sanctify him for this relationship that they were going to share. And then he became so confident in loving God and living for God and doing the work of God that he got to a point, he made this scripture, he made this statement in the 12th chapter of Isaiah. He said, look, you need salvation? You need to come to the well of salvation. You need help? Is there a problem somewhere in your life? Are you frustrated with how you are living, how you are doing? He said, when you come to this well of salvation, you come with joy. And I began to reflect on, here I was needing help, and I was having a pity party, and folks was looking at me, and it was like they was low energy. They didn't have no energy to help me. And I was, that whole experience was like, lady, we don't even know if we want to help you, but all these tears we see coming, you're frustrated. You got a bad mug on your face. We don't know if you escaped from the zoo or where you hobbled in here from, you know. And then when I changed that atmosphere because I called on joy, I declared joy and said, I'm so happy. It changed the atmosphere. In that hope of people were running to help me and the unthinkable happened. After they had told me I couldn't take this wheelchair outside, that the head of security came and said, I am security, and we're going outside with this chair. How blessed am I? And that's how I'm doing my days now. I'm getting up, and I invite all of you to get up and proclaim, I am so happy. Matter of fact, I know you got your phone muted now, so you need to scream it out where you are. I am so happy and so grateful because we are getting ready to explode with favor with this campaign. We have gotten so many mayors and so many council people and so many business people that have seen this technology demonstrated. The solar has just charmed so many people's hearts watching Soli do what she does, that we have people mobilizing now to help us. We were on the Carl Nelson show 2 weeks ago from Radio One, and when the word went out, I shared about how the paramedics were having a big conference in Washington, D.C., and they were just talking at the conference about how something else was going on, and they couldn't figure it out, and they were sharing and speculating that it had to be the environment. And when they heard me, they were all high-fiving, saying, yes, yes, we got to get with this woman. Well, I'm so excited tonight because I've been proclaiming that I'm so happy and I'm so grateful that this movement is ignited. It moves forward. Those people started calling up people, and they called me up, and they said, Dr. Lally, we have organized ourselves, and we want a training in Washington, D.C. in June. What week can you train us? I said the second week in June. They said, wonderful. And then they called me back and they said, we want to confirm this, but we believe we have a university that's going to allow you to train us at the university. I'm so excited. I don't know what to do because this particular relationship is going to ignite so many things in the future. Washington, D.C. is the number one place where women, particularly in the African-American community in Ward 5, are dying. They have the highest incident of death from breast cancer on the front lawn of the White House. Every property, we got a grant to write to train doctors and nurses and evaluate this whole training program for breast health that's getting ready to be implemented in Ward 5. And I was totally blown away at the levels that were in these houses that we surveyed. All the houses were over 700. I said, well, no wonder that we're getting all this breast cancer and all this demineralization, et cetera. And the paramedics say, Doc, this death, this heart disease, this diabetes, this cancer is off of the chart. And we knew there had to be something else because it had been a rapid change, a rapid surge. And we absolutely believe that measuring the electromagnetic microsurge in a house when we respond to emergency call, it should be paramount in our assessment to begin to archive and evaluate. Are people's houses really making them sick? And is this really why people are having these strokes or they're waking up and it's like they're in oblivion somewhere? There's some crazy stuff going on out here. There's so too many 40-year-olds not waking up, dying in their death. Too many 40-year-olds. My 36-year-old nephew died in the hospital. He was up playing cards, happy, gleeful, died in the hospital. There's too many. And they said, we got to do something. We need another skill level. We need to be able to be empowered to assess. And so I never even thought about the paramedics because, you know, they mostly operate in an ambulance. But, I mean, the same electromagnetic dynamics, it makes perfect sense that it becomes part of the assessment of how they manage those ambulances and how they evaluate houses when they go in to deal with people, especially people that are having heart disease and are having any type of acute event that you have to call the ambulance for. So I'm kicking up my heels. I am so joyful. I'm so joyful because we just finished the construction of a memorandum of understanding for universities to engage us. I'm so excited that and so grateful that we've already completed kind of a test simulation with a university that's accredited with a master's program. We've had nurses sitting and auditing this curriculum to make recommendations for it at the master's level. Yeah, and now we're getting ready to modulate that down all the way to an associate level. I'm so happy and so grateful because I would not have been able to say these things on this day and have the experience of these people if all of you that's on this radio show, so many of you, contribute into my life. The hope, the buying the products, the testing it out, the giving me your data, the giving me your word of encouraging. I mean, I sent out everybody a picture that I took last week, which this Soli is amazing what she's doing for the water. And I tell you, Mario made me kick my heels. He said, "You are such a beautiful lady. Lady, thank you, Mario. Here's a big hug and a big squeeze and a big kiss." I started dancing because I'm getting ready to celebrate my 61st birthday. Y'all can't tell my Facebook family because they're guessing my age now. I told anyone if you guess over 40, I'm sending a cat to scratch your door. But I'm so happy and so grateful that we have the opportunity, that we're doing this. We're changing lives. I saw a text from Rod talking about how, you know, one of his clients was doing a little better and how he was so excited. He was determined that he was going to win for this family. And I saw Jonathan's text. He said, "Okay, we got the land now. Jonathan, no, I got your balancer. I'm working on raising money for the tubes so we can see what these balances would do for the water on that farm." And I'm telling you, if you got soy plants down there tripling in size, I'm just going to kick my heels up because we are making a difference. We're winning. We're winning. And we have another company at the table. We may have our biobalancer back up and running on a private label to another corporation before the end of the summer. So I'm so grateful that things are changing, and I want everybody to join me. Everybody to join me. I'm going to be talking about Lake Genesaret because I got to search this out. I want everybody to join. We're going to have our little study group. Remember I took you to Lake Genesaret in the New Testament, where Jesus was preaching his first sermon, and he came to a place where the fishermen were in economic crisis, and they were holding on to hope by a string. They had been fishing all night. They didn't catch any fish. And all of us understand economic values. We understand that if you don't work, you don't eat. And we understand if you work all day and don't draw a paycheck, you don't pay the bills. And these fishermen had worked all day and all night and didn't catch any fish. And they had the audacity to be cleaning their nets. Nets that were empty with fish. They're cleaning, I'm sure, to remove the seaweed and other things that may have been in the lake. They were cleaning their nets, holding on to hope that something was getting ready to happen. And that's really what we've been doing. We've been going out with our little technologies and our few instruments and quantifying and trying to make it happen and writing the vision and make it clear. And we've been winning for families. Look at us. We have Destiny, that's seizure-free, a college student. We have Satira that's archiving her testimony for the state legislation. We have so much miracles. We have a realtor that had Parkinson's disease, who could not feed himself or write. He's back, made over $26 million last year, stroking pens with his own hand, with nanobio balancers that were holding his hand steady enough to execute his signature. We have five people that were going blind from glaucoma. All we did was reduce the environmental toxins. Their body healed themselves because our nanotechnology was never designed to treat, diagnose,
prevent or cure disease. It was designed to block static. If you block static and give people a healthy environment, they will heal, they will win. And so that's why I love the story of Lake Genesaret. I told you, I went to Walmart. I have my own personal fishing boats now, and I have my fish, and I even found some little creatures that are octopus. You got to tell Pierre, who ate the octopuses off my spaghetti, because I thought they were burnt spaghetti noodles while we were in Montreal. I didn't know they had put baby octopuses on my plate. I was like, an octopus on my plate? Are you serious? But anyway, I wanted to measure the physical energetics and study this lesson, this miracle of Christ, because it was so amazing how he went out on a lake and he declared the word of God. And a lake that had no energy, the fish didn't have energy. They couldn't swim up so they could be caught in the net. And the fishermen were so discouraged. And he spoke a word of God over them, and it changed the atmosphere. And there were so many fish that came that they broke the nets and they broke the boat. Ladies and gentlemen, that's getting ready to happen for us. This movement is getting ready to go forth as we've never seen it before, because we've been holding on with a string. I'm new. I said, this is weird. This is the last Mohican here. When I transition to heaven, I'll be transitioning from this portal, trying to make sure my grandbaby understands that if she's going to have a healthy environment, it has to be intentional. She just can't sit down and hope and pray. She got to get up. She got to measure her environment. She has to have the right instruments in her environment. She has to do what she needs to do so she can have clean air and reduce exposure to static radiation. So she can have a full life. She can laugh. She doesn't have to have schizophrenia and multiple personality disorders because her brain has been tased. She doesn't have to have type 3 diabetes because her body can't uptake enough insulin because of the static radiation surge. She doesn't have to go blind, bleeding eyes, because she's in front of a computer 2 or 3 hours that has taken down the oxygen level in her eyes. Speaking of that, do you know that the science is showing that cataracts, if you have a cataract, it's because your cornea has had decreased oxygen uptake. That can happen with you being spending hours in front of a computer or hours on the cell phone. So back at Lake Genesaret, where Jesus spoke the word and it created multiplication, things begin to multiply. And when he came off of that lake, preaching his first sermon to the multitude, he energized the fish in the lake, and everybody and everything wanted to honor God. The fish knew that they were created to be eaten. So they just hopped in the boat, hopped in the net. They said, take me, take me. It was such a profound miracle that Peter, a man of little faith and a man of little hope, who was found holding on to a string, said, you know, hey, I'm not even worthy for you to bring all this goodness to me. Imagine that. And he was validated by the Christ. He was validated by the Christ. He said, no, man, I want you to come and follow me. And that's how I felt, being called to this whole ministry of environmental health at a time when everybody wants to be in denial and wants to kick you to the curb and call you all kind of names. I consider that an honor and a privilege. My bishop told me, if folks are trying to castrate you and say all kind of manners of evil against you and tell lies on you, number one, it's because they're jealous that they can't be you. And number two, it's because they don't have no sense of purpose. And number three, it's because they wouldn't do anything to help anybody else. It's all about them. But this is what I do now. And when you purpose in your heart to do good for people, that thing returns 1,000-fold. And so they left. They experienced the overflow when those fish came. And that's what's happening for us. I mean, I spoke at the technology conference down in North Carolina, at North Carolina Central. It was phenomenal. We transformed a classroom
in the Department of Education into, and we showed them how the windows were broadcasting EMF radiation 11 feet into the classroom, and how people were sitting near that window felt fatigued. They were yawning, you know, they were sleepy. You could see their eyes batting, and how we put that solar on that window and biobalanced the whole room. It was mind-blowing. It ignited those teachers and those masters of defense down there. They have vision. We went to the fab lab. I thought we were going to have to spend $50,000 for prototypes. And we have made a connection with fab labs. Fab Lab is where you get ready to make, use 3D printers and make your prototypes. We have three universities now that have offered for us to use it to prototype the next generation. So stuff I haven't even talked about is going to come off the shelf, hopefully before the end of the year. It's just mind-boggling. So I am so happy and so grateful that all of you are on this show tonight. And I want you to be exceeding. I want you to be ignited with those words. If you wake up in the morning, you proclaim joy. I'm so happy and so grateful for your family, for your friends, for another 24 hours to make somebody's life better, to add value to their life. Because we are going to have, we're going to be dancing, and we're going to be sharing this movement with the world. I'm so excited about Canada, about being the relationships that are formulating with these universities, that I'm just asking for clarity of vision, for implementation. But the world belongs to you, and now it's about empowering the method. Now that we've got this vision written and we've got it clear and we've had the christening of my colleagues at Columbia University, and we've webinared this to the world, so you're ready to graduate to the world. We're ready to go forward. And that's what I'm so excited about. I'm going to open up these lines because there's so many people on the line. I want to hear what's going on in your world and what are you so happy about tonight. I mean, all of you have created such miracles that I wish we could just take 3 minutes, 4 minutes, however long you need to take, and just share one miracle that's happened with you using this technology and sharing it with the world. Anybody want to unmute their phones and share a testimony? I know I'm not the only one. Well, then I'm going to have Dr. Lolly show and tell. As I've reflected on all these miracles that you have shared, I want to reflect. I want to start with our queen, Miss Ida Morris, because I still reflect on the testimony when she shared the technology with the lady that had the severe arthritic pain and just wanted to go to church. And before 24 hours, before the day ended, a noonday fellowship, a noonday stop in, have some tea or luncheon, whatever it was, transformed that lady's life because Miss Morris shared her. That technology with that lady, she came to church that night shouting and rejoicing that she was pain-free. When I think about, you know, I think about Mario and how he was so compassionate about the cows and the pigs and the farmland that he knocked on the doors until he got that huge farmer to allow us to come in and see if we could do a miracle with the cows. And how it was almost a miracle to see instantly them cows transform from cows who were aggressive, and one of them jumped a 4-foot fence. I didn't know a big, huge cow could jump 4 feet. I saw it with my own eyes. I saw that big cow jump that fence. And all of a sudden, we put that technology in. It hit those robots. They became mild and mannered. They filed in line to get on that robot, and that's amazing. It's a big, huge carousel that milks 50 cattle at once every 12 minutes. 50 cows. These cows know how to get on this machine by themselves. That's what's crazy. They get on the machine by themselves, and they back off the machine by themselves. They're perfectly trained. It's mind-boggling to go and see a giant dairy operation.
and the particulars by which, you know, the milk is sanitized, the cows are sanitized, but those cows were humanized. It was like they were saying, thank you for coming up here. Because it was a hump. I will never forget the trip up to the farm. Poor Jacques locked his keys in the car, and it was 37 below zero, and the car was running. He shut the door with the car running, and it was crazy. And all I could do was be in that hotel and pray. We went up to that farm, and we went up there as a team. We had a fabulous time retrofitting that farm and testing it. And when Mario and Pierre came busting in the door saying, Doc, after we retrofitted, the milk of the cows has increased in energy. It's more energetic after the retrofit than it was before the retrofit. We have scratched the miracle for farmers all over the United States and the world, all over Canada and the world, because I didn't realize mastitis is a huge problem on these farms. I think about Rod, and I will never forget hearing the story of his mom talking about how soft her hair was and how soft her skin felt. And, you know, and her speculations about the technology. And I remember the story of his dog who had pain in his leg. And he used the Nano to comfort the dog, and the dog became pain-free. And then the unthinkable happened. When he came home one day, and the bandage was in disarray, it was disheveled, and it was bleeding, and he didn't know what happened to the dog, and he took it off. Took him to the vet, and the vet took it off. And here the dog's leg, his dog's body, had pushed that tumor out of the skin, and it was hanging there by strings of connective tissue. We have been over rows of miracles and testimonies. And that nanotechnology strengthened the immune system to contain that tumor, and then the body began to heal itself and push itself out of that dog's body. That is just unbelievable. We had a lawyer that had breast cancer. She didn't want to take chemo. She didn't want to take radiation. She didn't want to have the breast excised. And the flesh was rotting. I mean, her body was so offensive that she would come to see me at the spa at night. And we began to pray, and God began to give me a formula for her, using just apple cider vinegar, or just, it was like distilled vinegar with a soak pad, and diluted, and to just lay on there to kind of just control the smell. And she had a Nano in her foot, and she would put a Nano on the breast, and a miracle happened. Her body contained that tumor and pushed it out of the breast tissue. And she went to a surgeon because it was like hanging there, much like Rod, the experience of Rod and his dog. And the surgeon excised it, and she said, this is a miracle. Because cancer will usually tunnel within. But something had helped strengthen the immunity for this to contain itself and push out. We've seen some miracles along this journey. I think about Lynn and Brian and Rita. What an amazing miracle, a tumor that disappears in the brain. We have so much to be thankful and grateful about. Look at all of us. We've increased the value of each other's lives. And all of you have certainly increased the value of my life. And for that, I'm grateful and I'm humble. And I just love and celebrate all of you for keeping this vision alive. I spoke to someone. We went to change the 2x2s in their house and in their store, and they were like, "Oh, that's somebody, you know, you should be a billionaire by now." Blah 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 blah, blah and blah 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 blah. And you know, I have a friend has a formula, and you know, it's a food formula, and she's got $150 million offer, and this that. I said, well, you know, that's kind of like apples and oranges. I said, it's easy to commercialize food because it's something that's easily measurable and it is well researched. We have something that's brand new, the world never seen before. It's like we had a baby and who knows how to dress it. We birthed something that's not been in the earth before. So who knew what it would do, how it would do it? And I feel so blessed that all of you said, you know, feel connected to this project. I feel connected to you. And I will just touch it, and I will be have creative thought, and I will see how it innovates me and how it inspires me. And because of that, you've made so many people's lives so much better because you cared enough to share. We've taken caring to a whole different level. And so, when you're frustrated, when it seems that things are hurting you, they're creating emotional pain, they're creating emotional anxiety. When the tears seem endless, you remember Dr. A in the courthouse when she couldn't get a wheelchair and she was having spasms and she had to change the atmosphere. Because we are children of God, every single one of us, made by the hand of God, birthed and designed in his love for humanity. He put something great in every single one of us. And, you know, it's not even like having a magic wand or doing anything like that. We have the power of the spoken word. We have the authority of the word of God. And you can get any scripture. I don't care whether it's God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Or the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In Psalm 23. Or Jeremiah 26. God has a plan for your life. Not to put you in harm's way, but to give you an expected end. I don't care what scripture it is. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When we speak the word of God over anything, you will energize it to balance it. And then when we pray and we declare what we need to have happen, it's going to happen. Because we serve, when you serve other people, you will get served in your time of need. When you help other people, somebody's going to be there to help you when you need help. And this is what's crazy. It's like the best people come to help you. The most talented, the most gifted, the most informed, the most resourced, the best people come. Can you imagine that the head of security came down to roll me outside in the rain, knowing he was going to get torrentially wet just like me, and he did it with great joy. I was like, wow, how blessed am I? And he was a Caucasian, he was a white man. And I'm in a chocolate city, a city with a lot of African-American people, and a courthouse with a lot of African-American people. And I said, look at this. Everybody was astounded. They were in shock. But God showed me, you have served the best, and you have served with the best that you had. And in your time of need, I'm going to send my best to serve you. And that's the note I'm closing on tonight. I bless every single one of you. I rejoice over all of you, that your days may be excellent, that you overflow with so much love and mercy and grace, that the way you serve, you too, in your time of need, shall be served. And I am so happy and I'm so grateful that you love me and you give me your strength to climb with. And on that note, let's go get them. We're getting ready to set up an academic, like training, Rod, we're getting ready to, this whole water energetics piece is getting ready to be huge. I've made some contacts with people about some lakes.
Mario, the farm thing is going to blow up for you and for Jonathan. And we are just excited about what Lynn is doing because the testimony of brain tumors, this Rita, we're going to call it the Rita protocol. We're getting ready to protocol what you did for your wife and share it with the world because of your diligence and being intentional and Rob continuing to knock at the door and just be, you know, concerned. Look what happened. She did not have to have brain surgery. This is, like, miraculous. So, good night, everybody. I love and appreciate you. This is Dr. Lolly signing out tonight. Bye-bye.
Good night, Dr. Lolly.
Good night, Dr. Lolly. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
My